This article is brought to you by the best-selling booksy Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to delegate synergy-critical tasks in a way that builds ownership and trust. A practical system for delegating so your team pulls together, not apart. In short, after reading this, you will know how to hand off synergy-critical tasks in a way that builds genuine ownership and strengthens team trust rather than quietly eroding it. Be specific about the outcome, the authority, and the why before you hand anything off. Follow up at agreed points without hovering or undermining the person's ownership. Connect every delegation to the team's shared purpose, not just the task itself. Definition: delegate synergy-critical tasks refers to the act of formally handing off work that directly shapes how team coordinates, communicates, and trusts one another. Done well, this handoff builds collective ownership and strengthens the bonds that hold a team together under pressure. You hand a key project to your most capable person. 2 weeks later, the team is fractured. She thought she had full authority. Her colleagues thought they were still involved. Nobody checked. Nobody clarified. The project stalls, and the blame seeps outward like water through cracked ground. This is what happens when you delegate synergy-critical tasks without a clear system. Most leaders know delegation matters. The problem is not ignorance. It is the absence of structure, no shared understanding of ownership, no clarity about who decides what, and no communication that ties the task back to the team's collective purpose. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process for delegating synergy-critical tasks in a way that builds ownership and preserves team trust, and you can use it immediately. If you are still unsure what role clarity means in practice, start with what is role clarity and why it is the foundation of sustainable team synergy before you continue here. Why delegating for team synergy is harder than it looks. You already know delegation is important. The gap between knowing that and doing it well is wider than most leaders want to admit. I have watched talented managers hand off work confidently, only to find 3 weeks later that the team has quietly unraveled around the person they trusted most. Here is why it is genuinely hard. You cannot delegate what you have not defined. If the outcome is fuzzy in your own head, it will be even fuzzier once it leaves your hands. Vague instructions create competing interpretations, and competing interpretations break team cohesion. Trust is easy to undermine without meaning to. A single unannounced check-in, a casual comment to a colleague about keeping an eye on things, or one small decision you quietly reclaim can signal that the person does not really have ownership. Teams notice this instantly. The task's connection to team synergy is invisible to most people. When you delegate without explaining how this piece connects to everyone else's work, the person treats it as their job, not the team's shared mission. That disconnect quietly fractures coordination. Fear of failure drives the urge to overmanage. When the task is critical, leaders tighten their grip. The tighter the grip, the less ownership the other person develops. This is the delegation trap most managers fall into on the tasks that matter most. Different people need different levels of support. A framework that works brilliantly with a seasoned colleague will stifle a new team member who needs more structure. One-size delegation is really good delegation. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin, there are three things that need to be clear. These are not steps. They are preconditions. Skip them, and the steps that follow will crumble. Number one, a defined outcome, not just a task. You must be able to state exactly what success looks like before you hand anything off. Not manage the client communications, but ensure the client receives a written update every Friday by noon that covers progress, blockers, and next steps. Specificity is what makes ownership possible. Without it, you are setting someone up to guess. Number two, clear authority boundaries. The person receiving the task needs to know what they can decide alone, what requires consultation, and what requires your sign-off. If this is not explicit at the outset, they will either understep and keep asking you, or overstep and erode team trust by making calls they were not expected to make. Both outcomes damage the synergy you're trying to protect. Number three, your own commitment to hands-off leadership. If you plan to delegate but secretly retain control, do not bother. The team will sense it, the person will feel it, and the trust you hope to build will be replaced by quiet resentment. Before you hand anything off, decide genuinely that the outcome belongs to them. See how to communicate role expectations clearly to prevent synergy breaking confusion. for guidance on framing those boundaries well. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Connect the task to the team's shared purpose. This step sets the entire tone of the delegation and is the one most leaders skip entirely. Before you describe the task, you need to tell the person why it matters to the team as a whole, not just the project. When people understand how their work connects to everyone else's, they stop treating it as an isolated assignment and start treating it as a contribution to something shared. That shift is where genuine ownership begins. Start by identifying the specific links which colleagues depend on this work, what happens downstream if it stalls, and how this task reflects on the team's collective reputation. Then say all of that out loud. Write down the 2 or 3 most direct ways this task affects team coordination before the conversation. Open the delegation conversation with the team context, not the task details. Name the specific colleagues who will depend on this work and explain how. Ask the person what they already understand about how this piece fits the wider picture. Correct or expand their understanding before moving on. Example: a project leader is handing off the weekly status reporting for a cross-functional build. Instead of saying, "I need you to own the status reports from here," she opens with, "The design team and the dev team are using your reports to make sequencing decisions every Monday. When the report is late or unclear, they either stall or make assumptions that cost us days. What you produce directly affects how well those two groups can work together. That is why I want you to own this, not just write it." After this step, the person is not just informed. They are invested. That is the ground everything else grows from. Step 2. Define the outcome with surgical precision. Ownership without clarity is anxiety. This step removes the ambiguity that turns a well-intentioned delegation into a source of stress for the person receiving it. Describe the outcome in terms of what it looks like when it is done well, how it will be measured, and what the deadline is. Do not describe the process unless the process itself is the constraint. People who own outcomes find their own best path. People who are handed a process execute it mechanically and then disengage when it goes wrong. Write the outcome statement before the meeting in one sentence. Share that sentence at the start of the delegation conversation and invite the person to push back if anything is unclear. Agree on 1 or 2 measurable indicators that signal success. Confirm the deadline and any non-negotiable interim milestones. Ask the person to restate the outcome in their own words to surface any misunderstanding early. This step also serves the wider team. When the outcome is precise, colleagues who interface with this person know what to expect and when. Ambiguity at the point of delegation becomes confusion across the whole team. Precise delegation is a team synergy act, not just a management technique. It connects directly to the ideas in how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it, because clear outcomes make feedback specific rather than vague. Once the outcome is agreed, the person has something real to own, not a job, a result they are responsible for delivering. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now back to the article. Step 3. Hand over authority explicitly and publicly. This is the step that determines whether delegation is real or theatrical. Many leaders hand over a task while quietly keeping authority. The person feels the contradiction, and so does the team. Authority needs to be stated clearly in front of the people it affects. If your team sees you say Sarah owns this decision, they will defer to Sarah when the time comes. If they only hear it privately, they will keep coming to you, and Sarah's ownership becomes nominal. List the specific decisions this person can make without your input. Name the boundaries of their authority clearly, what triggers a check-in with you. Inform the rest of the team directly, either in a team meeting or a written communication. Resist the urge to add qualifiers like within reason or mostly. These reintroduce ambiguity. Follow through publicly the first time a decision comes to you that belongs to them. Redirect it back. Script. In a team stand-up, you say, "From today, Marcus owns all client-facing decisions on the Henderson account through to delivery. If you have a question about that account, Marcus is your first call, not me. He has full authority on scope, communication, and scheduling within the agreed budget. I am available to Marcus if he needs me, but the account is his." That one public statement does more for Marcus's ownership than any private conversation could. It also tells the team exactly how coordination should flow, which is the foundation of real synergy. Step 4. Remove the obstacles before they hit. The most common reason well-delegated tasks fail is not the person, it is the environment. You can hand off with perfect clarity and still watch someone stumble because of access issues, resource gaps, or team dynamics you never addressed. Before you step back, do a practical sweep. What does this person need to succeed that they do not currently have? Who in the team might resist or work around them? Other systems, approvals, or relationships you need to grease before they take the wheel? Ask the person directly. What do you need that you do not yet have? Identify any colleagues who might resist their authority and address this proactively. Ensure they have access to all the information, systems, and relationships the task requires. Secure any approvals or resource commitments that they would otherwise have to chase. Make one introduction or one email on their behalf that signals your backing. This step matters enormously for team synergy, because unresolved obstacles do not just slow the individual, they create friction between team members, generate resentment, and force the kind of workaround that break coordination. Your job at this stage is to clear the path, not manage the journey. For broader support on building the habits that make this work long-term, the Say It Right Every Time framework for pre-conversation preparation offers a practical system for thinking through exactly these kinds of obstacles before they surface. I cover the preparation side of Say It Right Every Time in depth, particularly for conversations where authority and clarity are both at stake. When the path is clear, the person can move. When they move well, the team moves with them. Step 5. Set agreed checkpoints, not constant monitoring. This is where most well-intentioned leaders undo all the good work they have done. The task is out of your hands, the stakes are real, and every instinct tells you to check in. Resist it. Unscheduled check-ins are not care, they are control. The person feels watched rather than trusted, and that feeling spreads to the team. The solution is not no contact. It is structured contact, agreed in advance, so every check-in feels like a scheduled event rather than surveillance. At the point of delegation, agree on a specific midpoint check-in date, time, and format. Agree on a completion review what you will look at together and how you will assess it. Make it clear that outside of these agreed points, you trust them to come to you if they need you. If a genuine concern arises between checkpoints, address it in a single direct conversation, not a series of small probes. At each checkpoint, lead with a question. How is it going from your perspective? Before offering any observations. Example, you have delegated the team's quarterly planning process to a senior colleague. At handoff, you say, let's set a check-in for the end of week 2, just to see where you are and whether you need anything from me. And we will do a review together the day before the final plan goes to the board. Apart from those, it is yours. If anything comes up that needs my input, come and find me. That structure gives the person room to lead. It keeps you informed without crowding out ownership. The team sees consistency, and consistency builds trust over time. Peer accountability works similarly to peer-to-peer feedback, strengthening team bonds for how colleagues can support this structure. Step 6. Recognize the result in a way that reinforces team cohesion. Recognition is the final act of good delegation, and it is the one most leaders rush or forget. How you recognize a completed task either reinforces the team's shared ownership or quietly signals the credit belongs to individuals rather than the group. When a synergy critical task lands well, the person who owned it deserves clear acknowledgement. But how you frame that acknowledgement matters. You want to celebrate their ownership while reinforcing how their success served the team, not just themselves. Acknowledge the result directly to the person first, privately, and specifically. Follow up with a public acknowledgement that names what they did and how it served the team. In that public acknowledgement, name the colleagues whose work depended on this and connected to it. If the task did not go well, address it as a learning conversation, not a performance review. Ask, what would you do differently? And what can I do to set this up better next time? When recognition frames individual success as team success, you build two things at once: the confidence of the person who delivered, and the trust of the colleagues who saw it happen. That combination is the heart of strong team synergy. See how leaders can model effective feedback behavior for guidance on making this kind of recognition a consistent leadership habit. After this step, you have completed one full cycle. Now you do it again, with more trust and less structure needed each time. Adapting this process for remote teams. Remote teams require this process to be more deliberate, not fundamentally different. When a team is distributed across time zones and communication happens mostly in writing, the invisible signals of trust and authority that work naturally in a shared office disappear. You have to make everything explicit that proximity once handled silently. Written clarity carries more weight. In an office, a brief verbal handoff is backed up by visible body language, hallway conversations, and shared context. Remotely, the written record of your delegation is often all the person has. Write the outcome, the authority, and the agreed checkpoints in a shared document the moment you have had the conversation. Public authority statements need a digital home. When you announce that someone owns a task, do it in the team's primary communication channel, not just in a video call. A message in Slack or Teams that everyone can read and reference is far more durable than a spoken declaration. This reduces the "I did not know she had authority over" the moments that fracture remote team cohesion. Checkpoint cadence must account for time zone reality. If you and the person you have delegated to are rarely online at the same time, agreed checkpoints need to be scheduled well in advance. Asynchronous updates can work for routine progress, but the midpoint and completion reviews should be synchronous, if at all possible. The conversation matters. The GROW method outlined here is a strong structure for those remote review conversations. Obstacle removal is more urgent, not less. Remote team members cannot easily flag a small friction before it becomes a big problem. Ask explicitly about blockers at every checkpoint and act on them faster than you think you need to. The core process holds in every environment. Only the execution changes. Common mistakes to avoid. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. A mistake: delegating the task without delegating the authority. Why it happens. Leaders want to stay in control of outcomes, so they hand off the work, but keep the decision making. What to do instead? State the person's authority explicitly at handoff, both privately and in front of the team. Real ownership requires real power. The mistake: using vague outcome language like "handle this" or "take the lead on this." Why it happens? The leader knows what they mean and assumes the other person will too. What to do instead? Write the outcome in one specific sentence before the conversation. Ask the person to restate it back to confirm mutual understanding. The mistake: checking in constantly after delegating. Why it happens? The task is important and anxiety drives behavior. The leader tells themselves it is just staying informed. What to do instead? Set agreed checkpoints at handoff and honor them. If a concern arises, address it in one direct conversation, not a series of quiet probes. The mistake: recognizing only the individual without connecting their success to the team. Why it happens? It is easier and faster to say "well done" than to frame the result in team terms. What to do instead? In every public acknowledgement, name how the person's work served their colleagues. This builds cohesion, not just individual confidence. The mistake: failing to clear obstacles before stepping back. Why it happens? Leaders assume the person will ask for what they need. Many people will not ask, especially early in a role. What to do instead? Ask directly. What do you need that you do not have? Address the answer before you hand over responsibility. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin and after each cycle. I have defined the outcome in one specific, measurable sentence. I have identified the 2 or 3 ways this task directly affects team coordination. I have written down the person's decision-making authority and its limits. I have told the rest of the team who owns this task and what authority they hold. I have asked what obstacles or gaps exist and addressed them before stepping back. I have agreed on a midpoint check-in and a completion review with specific dates. I have committed to no unscheduled check-ins outside of those agreed points. I have connected the task to the team's shared purpose in the handoff conversation. I have asked the person to restate the outcome in their own words. I have a plan for recognizing the result publicly in a way that names the team's contribution. If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a complete practical system for delegating synergy critical tasks in a way that builds ownership and strengthens the trust your team depends on. That is not a small thing. Most leaders delegate work. Far fewer delegate in a way that actively improves how team functions together. Connect every task to the team's shared purpose before you describe the task itself. Define the outcome with precision. Vague instructions produce vague ownership. Hand over authority explicitly and publicly so the rest of the team knows who leads. Remove obstacles proactively. Do not wait for the person to come to you with problems. Set agreed checkpoints and honor them, structure replaces the urge to micromanage. Recognize results in a way that frames individual success as team success. Repeat the cycle. Trust compounds with each well-handled delegation. Your next steps depend on where you are right now. If you want to sharpen how you give ongoing feedback within this delegation cycle, read how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it. If you want to understand how feedback behavior flows from the top of a team, how leaders can model effective feedback behavior is worth your time. For a broader view of why feedback sits at the core of every team's growth, why effective feedback is the backbone of work, this growth will give you the foundation. Delegate synergy critical tasks well, and you are not just moving work around. You are building a team that trusts itself enough to lead without you in the room. Frequently asked questions. What does it mean to delegate synergy critical tasks? To delegate synergy critical tasks means to hand off work that directly affects how well your team coordinates, trusts one another, and moves together toward a shared goal. These are not routine tasks. They are the assignments where poor handoff breaks team cohesion fast. How do you delegate synergy critical tasks without losing team trust? You delegate synergy critical tasks without losing trust by being specific about the outcome, naming why the task matters to the team, giving the person real authority, and following up without micromanaging. The clarity of the handoff determines whether trust grows or erodes. Why does poor delegation damage team synergy? Poor delegation damages team synergy because it creates confusion about ownership, breeds resentment when people feel set up to fail, and leaves gaps that others must quietly fill. Over time, these gaps compound into a team that stops pulling together. How often should you check in after delegating a synergy critical task? Check in at agreed points, not constantly. Set a midpoint review and a completion review at the start. Unscheduled check-in signal distrust and undermine the ownership you are trying to build. Agreed checkpoints create structure without suffocation. What is the difference between delegating a task and assigning a task? Assigning a task means handing someone work to complete. Delegating goes further, it transfers ownership, decision-making authority, and accountability. When you delegate a synergy critical task well, the person owns the outcome, not just the actions required to complete it. How do you build ownership through delegation on a team? You build ownership by connecting the task to a purpose the person cares about, giving them genuine authority to make decisions, removing obstacles before they arise, and recognizing the results publicly. Ownership does not come from being told to care. It comes from being trusted to lead. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickthorne.com to get your copy.